Good morning. How are we doing? All right, let's try this side. Good morning. How are we doing? Oh, there we go. Yeah, better than the others. So this morning, I mean, it was just amazing. The worship was outstanding. The prayer time outside was great. And just so you know, just to remind you, it doesn't matter whether it's winter, spring, or fall. We start at 10 o'clock. We don't start at 10:30 because prayer is a vital part of what we do. And I was just amazed at what some of the stuff came out in the pre-service prayer meeting and the prayer meeting. I maybe shouldn't call it pre-service, just prayer meeting. And what was said, and so I said, well, looks like people have been peeping at my notes, as such as they are. And anyway, so this morning we just want to carry on. We started last week with part one, carrying stuff. And as we said, it's a statement and it's a question. Are you carrying stuff? What stuff are you carrying? And I'm sure we could go around and people could put up their hands and say, well, I'm carrying this stuff and I'm carrying that stuff and I feel this and I feel that. And so we spoke about the different stuff, and we likened it to a journey, because we're all on a journey and we're going somewhere. And sometimes the journey is great or the travel is great, and sometimes just the destination. And as I said last week, I love the travel and I love the destination. I love to do the whole deal and get there and whatever the thing is. So this morning, because we're on a road trip, we could have called the series a road trip. I just want to, this morning, there we go, that's on. We're on a guilt trip. The guilt trip. That sounds very negative. And unfortunately, though, sometimes we live there. We live on this thing called a guilt trip. And last week we had a look at this, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. This will be helping us. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy, and I think the NIV says demolish strongholds. I like that word demolish, because I get this picture in my head of someone taking a wall and just taking an 8-pound hammer and demolishing it until it's just brick dust. There's nothing else there. It's done. It's finished. You can't glue it back together. You can't put it back together again. It's done. Sweep it away. That's about the best you can do. And then we looked at Ecclesiastes 3 and 3:6, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Time to cast away some stuff last week, some of the stuff we're carrying. And this week, hopefully, by the time we're done, it's time to cast away that guilt thing. And so the definition of guilt is the intellectual or emotional state that occurs when a person realizes or believes, accurately or not. So it can be true. Most times it's not true. When they have compromised their own standard of conduct, or have violated a moral standard and bear significant responsibility for that violation. And sometimes when you violate something and then you get all guilty about it, you go, oh, guilt. I feel guilty about that. The problem is when we carry guilt, it weighs us down. We can't function like we're supposed to do when we're carrying this guilt thing. Because in the back of our head, this little thing is niggling. Oh, and I praise Jesus. I mean, like if you didn't get transported into seventh heaven this morning through the worship, then please come and see me afterwards if we want to lay hands on you and pray for you. Alternatively, you were just dialed out. And we want to stay dialed in and functioning and going for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we carry guilt, we find, remember we spoke about imprisoned and entangled ourselves and what we're imprisoned in. And sometimes we self-imprison ourselves. And when we're carrying guilt or we're carrying stuff, it means we haven't cleared the minefields that we spoke about for the first month or two. And we have been guilted into carrying stuff. Because sometimes people are very good at guilting you into stuff. My dearest mother, love her with all my heart, all my soul. And this is not dishonoring to her. But she had a way, if I didn't call her, and I know some of the kids are going like this right now. If I didn't call my mother, when I did call her, then she would go, oh, I thought you'd forgotten about me. No, Mom, I'm just really busy. I've been traveling. I'll come and see you this week. And we used to have this sort of like date. I used to visit my mother once a week and go and spend some time with her and all that kind of stuff. But if I didn't call her during the week, other than that, oh, I thought you just didn't care anymore. Eventually, I had to sit down and have a little chat with her. And she said, oh, I see. The child has become the parent now. I said, yep. The gospel in its raw, true, unashamed version is truly good news. Unfortunately, some people are being guilted into heaven. Listen to what I'm saying. We've been guilted into heaven. Sometimes by actual fact, but we get there and we find that what has happened is that we end up getting guilted into heaven because someone preached a sermon and said, turn or burn. And we thought that burning was a bad idea, so we turned. But the reason we turned was so we can get out of hell. And that is not the gospel. We don't get saved. So our primary point is to get saved from hell. We get saved because we have this unashamed love for the one who died, the one who saved us, and the one who went to the cross for us. And his name is Jesus. And that's why we get saved. That's why we turn our lives around. I remember, okay, let's not go there. Time's running by. Let's just move on. Where are we? We need to change our paradigm shift, change the way of thinking in the goodness and the love of Christ. Amen. Well, thank you. We've got a number of scriptures, so instead of turning to your Bibles today, just follow me with where we're up there. And I've used different versions because some of them sound nicer. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Now, one of the part of this is we've got to learn to trust in and lean on the promises of God. And then our minds won't get messed up and we won't get guilted into stuff. And we're going to talk more about that later on as we go. Are you tired of carrying the guilt stuff and journey on this guilt trip? And sometimes you do and you come and you, as I said earlier, and you lost in Jesus, and all of a sudden the enemy comes and says, yeah, but what about that thing? And then, oh, the guilt comes upon you. And, oh, I should have done this more, and I should have done that more. And listen, God is not mad at you. God is madly in love with you. God is not mad at you. God is madly in love with you. Yeah, I know. It's two people now that are convinced. Stop running from God and run to the one. You know, the minute something goes wrong in our lives, well, now we just, and I'm sorry, this is just a hobby horse. We stay away from church. We stay away from God. We stay away from Christians. We go, and as I put it, you know, when David ran, he ran into a cave to escape. And we like to run into our man cave or our lady cave. And no, it's just me and Jesus, and I'm going to sort this. And only when I've sorted this out, then I can come back. Lies, lies, lies. Guilt trip, guilt trip, guilt trip. You've got to run to the rock, the one and only Jesus Christ. Run to Him. Next one, Psalm 38:4. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden, too heavy to bear, says David. I'm overwhelmed, I'm unable to cope. I don't know what to do, but don't worry, it's just you and me, Jesus, and I'm going to sort it out. And then when I've sorted it out, I'll come to you and I'll talk to you. Guilt trip, wrong. Listen to this. When you are grounded by guilt, you can't fly for Jesus. Or you can't fly for God. When you're grounded by guilt, then everything is just a chore. Coming together is a chore. Reading your Bible is a chore. Praising is a chore, so it's just easier to sit down and dial out. It's a chore because you have this guilt, because you feel grounded. Remember last week we said, lay aside every weight and sin that entangles and entraps us. Remember we said the Greek word of that was to ambush you. The enemy is waiting to ambush you. He's not a gentleman. Psalm 38:4. Oh, no. What am I doing? I'm going too fast. Oh, no. Just don't worry. Let's start, stay here. You know, the original intent, somebody, I think even Olive prayed it in the prayer meeting this morning. That's what I thought. She's looking at my notes. Their original intention in the garden of Adam and Eve was nothing was meant to be hidden. Nothing was meant to be a secret. Nothing was meant to be topsy-turvy and upside down. It was all meant to be innocent and, if I could say, childlike. Everything was meant to be innocent and childlike. And we see here that when we get to the garden and we understand this thing, but after the fall, the innocence was gone. The childlikeness was gone. And what took place was childishness. No, but it was your fault, and it was your fault, and it was God's fault, and it was the serpent's fault, and it wasn't my fault, and we wouldn't take responsibility. And Adam and Eve wouldn't take responsibility, and they started pointing fingers, and they were being childish, not childlike. Their innocence is gone. And when we get to, you see the Genesis 2:20, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed originally. They were just tra-la-la through the tulips, as we say. They were having an amazing time, and God would come and meet with them and talk to them. And after the fall, as if God didn't know, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And sometimes was the, well, not sometimes, they fell and they hid in their guilt and their shame, and God had to go looking and calling for them. And sometimes when we carry guilt and shame, God's got to come calling for us. And we go, oh, the heavens are brass. Have you heard that expression? I just can't get through and nothing's getting through. No, we live in an open heaven. I think Chris prayed it this morning. God in us, God through us, God around us, God break in, God touch us, God. You had to be there. Yeah. If you have moments in time in your life when God comes calling you, the guilt and shame is in the way. Can't break through. Can't see it through. Listen to this. When you carry guilt, you want to hide. But to get rid of the guilt, you can't hide. I know that's deep. Let me say it again. When you carry guilt, you want to hide. I can't face anybody. I can't talk to anybody. I'm ashamed. I'm guilty. I'm that. And so we go and we just close the doors and draw the drapes and we sit inside and it's just me. But to get rid of the guilt, we've got to open the shades, open the doors, walk out and say, here I am, God. We can't hide. When they needed to be close to God, they separated themselves from God. When we need to be close to God, Michael spoke about the intimacy. When we need to be close to God, we rather separate ourselves from God because now we're going to fix it. Because that's called works. Where's my goodie? Remember when we did that? Freedom! Galatians 5:1. For freedom Christ has set us free, made us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't go there. You know, sometimes they go to this program, it says, don't go there, you know, don't drive there, don't eat there. You know, there's all these reality programs they're putting on TV now. Don't go there. And some of the places we think, well, it's cool to go there. Don't go back again to a yoke of slavery. This is going to get helpful. God loves us and wants us to live free and travel light. Remember we said that last year? Remember we ended off last week with, God loves me. God can free me. God will restore me. Yet if we do an X-ray or an MRI, yeah, okay, I knew that. Just testing you to see if you're listening. MRI, if we really drill down, there might be some guilt hanging around inside there. There might be a little bit of guilt that's hanging out. Some stuff that we do out of guilt, we want to get rid of it. So the question is, I know because you're all dying to ask it, what is the guilt trip? What is, well, we can have 100 things, but number one, the guilt trip is when we carry painful regrets. Love, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not keep a record of wrongdoings that others do. God's perfect, amazing love does not keep a record of wrongdoings. We're the ones who keep the records. That's why we keep guilting ourselves. Oh, woe is me. Oh, how what a poor person I am. What a bad sinner I am. You don't know. Guilt, guilt, guilt. Just pour it on. So far, and I mean, I've got more years to go in ministry. This is not my last day. So that's why I say so far, I've never heard anyone say, I regret serving God. I regret the forgiveness and freedom that Christ purchased me with. I regret seeking the kingdom first. I regret living a life sold out to Jesus. I wish I'd gone more the way of the world. I wish I'd compromised more. I wish I'd been more disobedient to God. That would have helped me. No. Little story. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Can you picture that? Someone says something and it's so infuriating and so upsetting to you that you can't even hear it. You block your ears. They stopped up their ears, I guess. This, and rushed at him. Then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. Stephen, Gospel Message 101. And the witnesses laid down their garments at her feet of a young man named Saul. Now we all know who Saul became and all that. Saul should have been a man who carried painful regrets. He was a terrorist. He would have been 2RC or 1RC for ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these other terrorist groups. Pick one. He hated the church and its people. Saul walked in today, you would not be his friend. He was an overseer of murder and arrest. They says they're breathing threats and murder against the disciples. He went out, breathing the threats and the murders. I kill these Christians. They just... And then he goes on this road called Damascus and he meets Jesus. And he has a revelation of meeting him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Without flinching or blinking, he says, Lord. Lord. He knew exactly what was going on. But he gets this revelation and he pens it in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Painful regrets. You think Saul, Paul should have lived with painful regrets? You think he should have had them? He should have been regretful. Oh, I can't go and preach this gospel. Oh, Lord's called me to be a greater. Oh, I can't do that because of my part. No. Paul understood this. And we're going to talk a little bit about this later on. We have to understand. And I know we can all quote it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And then we go guilty. No, I am set free. That's what we get. Salvation, justification, sanctification, propitiation, and all that other stuff. We have to get that into our hearts and into our spirits. The second one is when we hold on to stuff. Ooh, I'm missing pieces here, where am I? Number two, when we hold on to stuff, we have to understand this. a time to cast away. Remember we spoke about, there is a time to cast away. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of no more guilt trip. Today is your day when you can say, I'm casting this stuff off. I'm no longer, because I have renewed my mind and I'm changing the way I think. I'm going to talk about that. I know, I keep promising. Hey, let's go. We hold on to guilt like a pacifier. You know, sometimes people, I don't know how it works, but I just know that some people are more happy in their misery than they are in true freedom and happiness. Did I say that too quickly? No, but think about it. Selah. Just well, think about that. The fact is that in everything the enemy says or does, he says what? You are a failure. Mark, you are a failure. I mean, I don't know, someone said it this morning again when they brought the word. I think this morning in the worship, I think we stepped it up a notch. I think we I don't know, if we were seeing 8 feet into the heavenly realms, I think we saw 20 feet. I think it was like something that lifted. What is that? I'm not sure what that is, but praise God for it. Something for, you know, more of that, everything. Condemnation says, and guilt says, you're a failure. When we mess up, when we lie, the Holy Spirit comes along and whispers in our heads on this side, because this is the good side, and he says, make amends. Make the phone call. When the gossip, the condemnation and guilt, the Holy Spirit says, make it right. And then in this other ear, because this is the bad ear, don't waste your time. Make it right. Make the call. Do the right thing. Be obedient to God. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. No, you are condemned. No, don't make it right. Don't be stupid. Don't lower yourself. Don't humble yourself. Take the high road. No, don't take the high road. You with me? You get the point. When we hold on to our guilt, we burden ourselves and we're unable to live in freedom and truth. We want to worship. Someone prayed this morning. We want to pray as they did on the mountain, in spirit and in truth, in true freedom. But how can we when we, well, I'm not sure. We get moments of joy and then guilt. Joy and then guilt. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, he is, she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I can quote that verse. I can quote that other one too, Romans 8:1. I can quote that one. I can quote this one. Sadly, we had a gentleman in our church in South Africa who used to carry little scriptures around in his pocket. And he would learn them. And that's why I carried them, so he could study them and learn them. And you could talk to him on any subject and he could quote you a scripture on any subject. The sad news was he never lived it. He always had a scripture for you. Oh, thus saith the Lord, quote a scripture. He probably knew more scripture than all of us put together here. I'm serious. He was absolutely. You could go to him and say, blah, blah, where's this in the Bible? He'd go, oh, that's Revelation 2:21. Oh, that's John 4:12. But he never lived it. Sad. Full of guilt. Lived a depressed life. Number three. What is the guilt trip? When we don't allow God to forgive us. Well, what do you mean by that, Mark? Well, what I mean by that is that all sin must be paid for. It's not an option. We can either accept that or we can reject that. And if we reject that, then we will pay. Sin doesn't go unpunished. It does get punished. Praise God that Jesus did it for us once and for all. But we have to accept that and believe that and walk in that. You hearing me? 1 John 4:10, in this is love. Now that we have loved, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the, big word, propitiation for our sins. He came to take away the judgment and the wrath of God. That's what propitiation means. The wrath of God has been appeased through the blood of Jesus for our sins. Jesus took them all upon Himself upon the cross. I accept God's forgiveness. Listen to this carefully now. This is part where I wanted to get to. But I just can't forgive myself. And I know some of you have been counseled. You have to learn to forgive yourself. Well, I want to take you in a whole new direction this morning and mess with your heads a little bit. Because nowhere in the Bible is there the concept of forgiving ourselves. Selah. When we ask for God's forgiveness based on Christ, having already paid for our sins and having trusted in Him as a Lord and Savior, He forgave us our sins. Yeah, but I've got to forgive me too. No, that's called works. Just let me finish before you want to stone me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, but I need to forgive myself. For what? You think your forgiveness is better than God's? You see, sometimes we've got to relearn stuff. We've got to, I've always been taught that when I forgive, then I have to forgive myself, and I'm not living in the freedom because I haven't forgiven myself, because then we make our forgiveness greater to God's forgiveness. No, when God has forgiven us, we are forgiven. We need to have a paradigm shift. We need to change our minds and think differently on this glorious, amazing, awesome God that we sang about this morning. Jesus, You are glorious. God, You're amazing. You're above all things. You're Chris Pratt, in us, through us, over us. We have to imbibe that stuff. We have to accept that stuff and go, yeah, that is true. If you're not convinced, let me go. We have been truly freed and forgiven. We need to change our minds. However, we can still choose to wallow in that. Yes, Lord. We can choose to wallow in our sins, in our unforgiveness, in our guilt, and in our shame. We've got to learn to divide the word in truth. And we've got to learn to go, when Jesus says, you are forgiven, say, okay, hang on, Jesus, I'm coming back now because I'm just going to go and spend some time and fast and pray until I've forgiven myself. Same way with the guilty feelings, we can accept the fact that we've been forgiven. However, the devil comes along and says, no, that's a lie, you're still guilty. And you should therefore feel guilty. I'm so glad you went there. But if it's by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Thank you. When I have something to do with my forgiveness, then it works. Then it gets really excited. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. You go, but Mark, you're really messing with my head now, because I always thought that I have to forgive myself, and so therefore I can really like Michael, because Michael did something wrong to me. He came and he said, please forgive me. And I said, yeah, okay, I forgive you, Mark, but I also messed up, so I've got to go and forgive myself. Do you get what nonsense that is? But that's been drilled into us for years. And we've learned that. But through revelation of Paul, and says, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation. I'm clean, I'm free, I'm salvation, I'm justified, I'm sanctified, I'm propitiated, I'm growing, I'm maturing in God, I'm understanding, I'm doing that intimacy thing with God, I'm walking in a higher plane, I'm seeing things in a greater sphere. Whoa. Work says, I'll try to fix it. Going back to the very first thing, when we're feeling guilty and we run away and we're going hard and we sing and it's just me, no, then it's works. You're doing works. You're not doing grace. You're doing religion. Grace says, God has already fixed it. When then what happens is, when we fall into that lie, I know this is getting complicated, then we fall into the next lie. Because, you know, once you've told one lie, there has to be the second lie and the third lie and the fourth. So the best thing up front is just tell the truth. Because once you've lied once, then you've got to remember the first lie, and then you've got to make up the second lie. Because the second lie is that, so God forgave me, I still feel guilty, so therefore I have to forgive myself before I can accept God's forgiveness. And then what happens is then, well, I owe God. And I'm going to mess with your heads again. Well, now I am indebted to God. He paid such a great price for us. We can't pay it. For there is no account. If we owe God for the death of His Son, if we think because He died on the cross for me, and He did, you've got to learn to think about it a little bit differently, then I owe Him. Then it's not grace, then it's a bargain. If you serve me, I will die for you. We already read that He loved us first. Really understand that we have to be absolutely thankful, absolutely grateful. But if you think you're indebted to Jesus, and I have to do works now to pay this debt, I have to do something special to pay back God. Oh well. Colossians 2:14. By cancelling the record of debt that stood against us, there was already a debt with its legal demands, justification, propitiation, this He set aside, nailing it to the cross. And I know you go, well, that sounds so irreligious and so unholy and so arrogant that I don't owe God. No, I understand. I owe Him my life. I owe Him everything I have, but I don't owe Him a single thing. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians, we already read, there is no record, He holds no record against us. There is no debt to pay, there is nothing for that we can do because Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus went to the cross for us. Yeah, more so because His dad said He should. Because of obedience to the Father. Okay, I think last three quickly. How do we stop the guilt trip? When we stop the guilt trip, it will change how we relate to people. How we relate to one another. Adam and Eve, can you imagine the perfection in the garden? Just go and cellar for a little while. Go and just take 10 minutes this afternoon and just think, I wonder what it was like for Adam and Eve in the garden. How they handled it. What happened there. How they treated each other with perfectness and tenderness and love and consideration. Everything was perfect. until they went from childlike to childish, pointing the fingers and accusing. Jesus came to restore His kingdom, and with it, part of that was to restore and take away from us guilt. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love and any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Oh, so we must be humble. Okay. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Oh, that's a big ask. I'm glad I'm not asking. God's asking. The second one is it'll change how we relate to God. When we are free of guilt, when we are free, then we don't have any, well, if I'd done this, God, and is He still mad at me? No, He's madly in love with you. We've been all there. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne. Okay. Through the atoning work, Christ's perfection leads to the perfection of His people. As we stand in Christ's eyes, we are perfect. Well, I don't know about the guy next to me or that other over there. No, that's how God sees him. We have to change our mind. Because if you are in Christ Jesus and you are holy and you are righteous, you are perfect. And when the minute you go, no, I'm not, that's guilt. That's shame. Higher view of God, a greater view of God, standing going, wow. I get arrogant about it, of course. Humility, in humility. Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, the cross, the greatest suffering in all history of mankind, physically, emotionally, experientially, God's wrath. We can't even imagine that. You know, I used to get regular spankings. I'm not allowed to say beatings, I guess. I used to get regular spankings when I was a child. And I know my mom and dad loved me more than you could imagine. I saw the she-bear come out of her when some other kid next door hit me in the head with a rock or a brick. She was like all 5 foot one of her. I knew she loved me. This is my son. You don't mess with my son. I'm going to take him in the room and I'm going to beat the living daylights out of him. But nobody else can. Anyway, just saying. Despising the shame. The crucifixion performed naked and in public. I know whenever we see pictures, is Jesus with his little loincloth. No, he was naked. Upon the cross. For everyone to look at. All the sin of the world upon him. Inflicting prolonged pain on their victim. That was what crucifixion was for. Then, seated at the right hand of the Father. Risen, perfected, at the right hand of the Father. Because we are salvation, justified, sanctified, propitiation, all that other stuff, redeemed. That was the word I've been leaving out. This is where we are. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. We've got to get rid of the guilt, get rid of the shame. Last one. It will change the way we are used of God. David sinned many times, yet kept short accounts with God. David was like normal society today. We would have written him off and said, no ways, dude. He's too bad. God says he's a man after my own heart. You've given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. Can you say that about yourself? Paul, the great apostle, lived with no condemnation, no guilt of his former life. Why? Because he understood. Mind shift. Devil, come on. Oh, Paul, hold on, dude. That last house you went into, there was a mother and three babies. Yeah, I know. There's no condemnation. Oh, that's a bit hard, Mark. No, therefore there's now no condemnation. It's got to apply to all, can't apply to some. The religious ruts of guilt to the grooves of grace when we give all our guilt to the Father. Let's stand together. If anything has spoken to your heart this morning, if anything has been highlighted, I'm not going to call you up to the front. If you want to come and see some of the pastors afterwards and pray with you, that's also good. That's wonderful. Right? This is just now a time to do business with God. So, Father, I'm tired of the guilt. This guilt trip, today it ends. I don't want to carry any more guilt with me. I don't want to carry anything that I needn't carry. Lord, I've misunderstood your full forgiveness for me. I've just thought I've been battling with trying to forgive myself. I know this morning that I am free. Because you have forgiven me. You sent your Son to pay the price that I can be forgiven. I don't owe. This is not a debt that I hold. This is an amazing life that I now lead because of your salvation towards me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just do some business with God. You pray to the Father. You speak to the Father. You reveal your heart to Him. Lord, you are gracious. Lord God, I don't want to do the works thing. I don't want to live in religion. I want to live in the fullness of your grace. I don't want to feel that I have to do something extra anymore. I've been trying. Hasn't been working out for me. So Lord, I'm going to do it your way today. I want to stand before you, God, and I just want to say, I come before you, Lord God, open-hearted, open-minded. I want to make good decisions, Lord. I shrug off that thing of carrying the guilt. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for taking upon my guilt upon the cross. Thank you for taking my shame upon the cross. And Lord God, if I got saved, being guilted into heaven, Lord, I come and I repent and I say, Jesus, I love you. I want to be in your kingdom, Lord, because of what you did for me at Calvary. Not because I think it's a cool idea to escape hell. I want to come into your presence today, Jesus, once again. I lift my heart and my mind to you, my body. Lord God, I make a choice this morning to renew my mind and change the way I think about you. I want that deeper intimacy, Lord God. I want a higher view of you, Lord God. I want your kingdom to break over me, in me, and through me, Lord God. Ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.